This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorn. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to coach sales teams on effective anchoring. Turn your team's opening numbers into a negotiation advantage they can repeat. In short, anchoring gives your sales team the power to set the reference point in any negotiation before the buyer does. Done well, it pulls every subsequent discussion towards your number, not theirs. An anchor is only as strong as the preparation behind it. Delivery, without confidence, destroys even a well-researched number. Coaching anchoring is a skill in itself. It requires role play, debrief, and correction over time. Definition: sales team anchoring is a deliberate act of naming the first number in a negotiation to establish a psychological reference point. The anchor influences the entire range of discussion that follows, pulling counteroffers closer to your position before the other party has a chance to set their own terms. A sales rep I worked with years ago spent 3 weeks building a proposal for a mid-sized manufacturing firm. His numbers were solid. His value case was clear. He walked into the room, sensed the buyer's hesitation, and before the buyer said a word, he offered a discount. He anchored low before the other side had even opened their mouth. He spent the rest of that negotiation defending a number he had already conceded, and he left money on the table that was never going back. That moment is not unusual. It is, in my experience, one of the most common and most costly mistakes sales teams make. Anchoring in negotiation is not complicated in theory. In practice, it is one of the hardest skills to coach because it runs directly against a salesperson's instinct to be liked, to be reasonable, to avoid the discomfort of silence after a bold number lands in the room. This article gives you a working coaching process. By the end of it, you will know how to prepare your team to anchor with confidence, how to drill that confidence through practice, and how to correct the mistakes that will inevitably appear when they try it in the field. Why anchoring is so difficult to coach well. The psychology is straightforward enough. Whoever names a number first sets the reference point. Every counteroffer, every concession, every final agreement is measured against that opening number. When your team anchors high, the negotiation gravitates toward them. When the buyer anchors first, your team spends the whole conversation on the back foot. Your salespeople know this intellectually. Knowing it and doing it are two entirely different things. The gap between theory and execution is where most coaching fails. Three specific pressures work against effective anchoring. Fear of offending the buyer makes reps hedge. The desire to appear collaborative makes them anchor too close to their actual target. And without proper preparation, they do not have a number they believe in, so they name one they do not trust, and it shows immediately. The buyer reads that hesitation and moves in. Coaching anchoring means addressing all three pressures directly. That is the work. It is not about teaching a technique. It is about building the kind of preparation and practice that makes a bold opening number feel natural rather than terrifying. What has to be in place before you start coaching? Before you run a single role play, two preconditions must hold. Without them, the coaching will not stick. First, your team needs to understand the psychology well enough to trust it. Not in an academic way, a short, honest explanation works better than a whiteboard lecture. Tell them that anchoring is not aggression. It is framing. The buyer expects you to open with a strong number. When you do not, you signal uncertainty. When you do, you signal that you know what your offer is worth. Second, every rep needs a clear value case before they touch an anchor number. An anchor without a value rationale is just a number in the air. A buyer can dismiss it in seconds. An anchor that arrives attached to a clear statement of what the buyer gets, why it is worth that, and what the cost of an action looks like is number with weight. Building that value case connects directly to how you advocate for your position with senior stakeholders too, and the same discipline applies here. When your team can articulate the value clearly, they believe the anchor. When they believe it, they deliver it with the kind of calm that makes buyers take it seriously. The six-step coaching process for effective anchoring. Step 1. Build the anchor number together. Do not let reps choose their anchor number alone, at least not at first. Sit with them and work backward from the outcome. What is the minimum acceptable price? What does full value delivery look like? What premium does your offering command over the nearest competitor? The anchor should sit meaningfully above the target price, but within a range the value case can justify. If the target is £40,000, the anchor might open at £52,000 or £55,000. The exact figure matters less than the logic behind it. Your rep needs to be able to say, with complete calm, why the number is what it is. One practical rule worth drilling early: use specific numbers, not round ones. An anchor of £47,400 carries more authority than £50,000. Round numbers invite immediate discounting because they read as estimates. Specific numbers suggest research, precision, and confidence. Step 2. Write and rehearse the anchor statement. The anchor is not just a number. It is a sentence, and that sentence needs to be prepared. Work with each rep to build a clean, one or two sentence anchor statement that leads with value before landing on price. A script worth practicing. Based on the scope we have discussed and the results clients in your sector typically see in the first 6 months, we are looking at £47,400 for the full engagement. That is it. No apology. No flinching. No immediate offer to discuss. The number lands, and then the rep waits. That silence is the hardest part, and it must be practiced until it becomes comfortable. Step 3. Drill the silence after the anchor. This is the step most coaches skip, and it is where most anchors collapse in the field. A rep delivers a strong number and then, in the silence that follows, fills the space with qualifications, alternatives, and discounts. The buyer has said nothing yet. The rep has already started conceding. In your role plays, built a specific exercise, the rep delivers the anchor, and then you, as the buyer, simply stare at them and say nothing for 15 seconds. Time it. The rep's job is to hold the silence without speaking. It feels uncomfortable in a training room. It feels far worse in a real meeting. But the rep, who can hold 10 seconds of silence after an anchor, has a tool that most of their competitors do not. Managing that kind of tension in a conversation takes practice, and the groundedness you build here carries over into every high-stakes exchange your team faces. Step 4. Prepare the response to pushback. After the anchor, the buyer will react. They may push back hard, counter low, or express surprise. Each response requires a different move, and your team needs a prepared framework for all three. For a hard counter, acknowledge it without matching it. I hear you. Help me understand what is driving that number for you. This gathers information without conceding ground. For a low counter, hold the anchor by returning to value. I want to make sure we are looking at the same picture. The deliverable includes X, Y, and Z. With that in mind, the £47,400 reflects what that outcome is worth. For expressed surprise, stay calm and redirect. It is a serious number, and the results it delivers are serious. Let me walk you through the breakdown. Rehearse these three responses until they are automatic. Step 5. Set the concession structure in advance. This is the step that separates coach teams from self-taught ones. Before any negotiation, each rep should know their concession plan, how much they will move, in what increments, and what they need in return for each move. Concessions should get smaller as the negotiation progresses. Moving from £47,400 to £45,000 is a large step. Moving from £43,000 to £42,500 signals you're close to your floor. Each concession should come with a condition. If we can agree on a 12-month contract, I can bring that to £44,000. Conditional concessions protect margin and teach the buyer that your concessions cost something. Step 6. Debrief every live negotiation against the plan. Coaching in a training room is preparation. Coaching after a real call is where the learning compounds. After every significant negotiation, sit with the rep and run through 4 questions. Where did you anchor? How did you deliver it? When did you feel pressure to concede? And what did you do? What would you change? This debrief loop is where anchoring becomes a habit rather than a technique. Handling difficult moments in those post-call conversations requires the same directness you need to start any hard conversation well. And it is worth treating that coaching conversation with the same care as the negotiation itself. Adapting the process for remote sales negotiations. Video calls have changed anchoring in ways that catch coaches off guard. The silence after an anchor feels different on a screen. Buyers meet themselves. They look away. The rep loses the visual cues that would normally tell them whether to hold or respond. The preparation steps do not change, but the delivery and silence holding need specific adjustment for remote settings. First, coach your reps to deliver the anchor, and then physically lean back on camera. It signals confidence and creates visible space. The temptation on video is to lean in and immediately qualify. Leaning back communicates that the number is settled. Second, if the silence extends past 15 seconds with no visible response, it is acceptable to name it calmly. Take your time with that. This acknowledges the pause without filling it with concessions. It also helps when technical issues make genuine silence hard to read. Third, remote negotiations benefit from following up in writing within the hour. The anchor you name on a call should appear in a brief follow-up summary. This reinforces the reference point and makes it harder for the buyer to reframe what was said. When dominant voices in a negotiation try to reframe what was agreed, a written summary immediately after the call is your team's strongest tool. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Four anchoring mistakes your team is already making. Mistake 1. Anchoring after the buyer has set the frame. Why it happens. Reps wait to see where the buyer stands before committing. What to do instead. In your coaching prep, make it explicit the first number wins the frame. If your rep is on a call and the buyer is about to discuss budget, the rep should anchor before that conversation starts. Mistake 2. Delivering the anchor apologetically. Why it happens. The rep does not fully believe the number yet. What to do instead? Return to step 1. If the rep cannot deliver the anchor without hedging, the value case is not strong enough. Build the case until the number feels earned, not hoped for. Mistake 3. Making multiple concessions in response to a single piece of pushback. Why it happens. Reps confuse movement with resolution. The buyer frowns and the rep drops the price twice. What to do instead? One response per push. Hold after each concession. Never move twice for a single objection. Mistake 4. Anchoring with the same number every time. Why it happens. Reps find a formula that feels safe and stop preparing individually for each deal. What to do instead? Every anchor must be built fresh from that deal-specific value case. A number that worked last quarter in a different context will feel lazy in this one. When conflicts arise from misaligned expectations in a negotiation, it is often because a rep used a lazy anchor that the buyer perceived as disrespectful to the specifics of their situation. Your anchoring coaching checklist. Use this before every significant negotiation your team prepares for. Preparation. Number 1. Have you identified the minimum acceptable outcome and the ideal outcome for this deal? Number 2. Does the rep have a clear value rationale that justifies the anchor number? Number 3. Is the anchor number specific rather than round? Number 4. Is the anchor meaningfully above the target without being outside the range the value case supports? Delivery 5. Has the rep rehearsed the anchor statement out loud at least 3 times? 6. Has the rep practiced holding silence for 15 seconds after delivering the number? 7. Does the rep have a prepared response to a hard counter, a low counter, and expressed surprise? Concession structure 8. Does the rep know the maximum number of concessions they will make? 9. Are the concessions planned to decrease in size as the negotiation progresses? 10. Does each planned concession come with a condition? Debrief 11. Is a post-negotiation debrief scheduled in advance? 12. Does the rep know the 4 debrief questions they will be asked? Managing arguments that arise when anchoring meets strong resistance is a separate skill, but this checklist covers the preparation that prevents most of those arguments from starting. The only metric that matters in anchoring coaching. Here is the truth of it. You can run the best anchoring workshop your team has ever seen, and 3 weeks later they will still be anchoring low under pressure if you do not track outcomes consistently. The metric I recommend is simple. After every significant negotiation, record the anchor, the buyer's first counter, and the final agreed price. Over time, that data tells you exactly where your team's anchoring is working and where it is collapsing. You will see the reps who hold close to their anchor, and you will see the ones whose numbers drift toward the buyer's counter at the first sign of friction. Coaching anchoring well means coaching it repeatedly, not once. Use the deal method when negotiations fracture into conflict and use the outcome data to shape your next round of role play. The reps who master sales team anchoring are not the ones who are naturally bold. They're the ones whose coach kept returning to the debrief, kept naming what needed to change, and kept practicing until the right move felt like the only move. Frequently asked questions. What is sales team anchoring in negotiation? Sales team anchoring is the practice of setting a deliberate first number in a negotiation to shape the range of discussion. The anchor pulls the other party toward your position before they name their own number, giving your team a measurable advantage in every deal they close. How do you teach anchoring to a sales team? Start with the psychology behind anchoring so your team understands why it works. Then build preparation habits, practice delivery through role play, and debrief real calls. Anchoring is a skill that compounds with repetition, not something a salesperson masters from a single training session. What makes an anchoring number effective in sales? An effective anchor is specific, well above your target, and supported by a clear rationale. Precise numbers carry more weight than round numbers. An anchor of £47,400 signals research and confidence. An anchor of £50,000 invites immediate discounting because it reads as a round guess. Why do sales teams anchor too low, and how do you fix it? Sales teams anchor low because they fear rejection and want to seem reasonable. The fix is preparation. A coach must help each rep calculate their anchor based on value delivered, not on what they expect the buyer to accept. Confidence in the anchor number comes from knowing what it is built on. How does anchoring in negotiation affect the final deal price? The anchor sets a psychological reference point. Even when buyers push back, the final number tends to stay closer to the anchor than to the buyer's opening position. Decades of negotiation experience confirm that the team who names a number first, and names it well, wins more ground in the final agreement. Can anchoring backfire in a sales negotiation? Yes, if the anchor is wildly out of range with no supporting rationale. It damages trust and can end the conversation. The solution is to pair every anchor with a brief value frame so the number feels earned, not arbitrary. A confident, justified anchor rarely insults. An unexplained extreme number often does. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.